I'm Alan Lytle for 91.3 WUKY. It's time for another edition of Saving Stories with Dr. Doug Boyd from the Louis B. Nunn Center for Oral History in the UK Libraries. It's a segment where we feature interviews from the collection. Good day to you, Doug.
It's good to be here.
Doug, April is National Donate Life Month, and we're dedicating this segment for that.
As the director of the Nunn Center, I get to interview lots of different people. But the interviews we're going to feature today are different. The interviews are with two personal friends of mine who I've known since childhood, Dan Becker and Laura Ottaviani Chacon. Like a lot of childhood friends, we all went in different directions, but years later, our lives reconnected through something extraordinary, a kidney transplant between friends. Laura donated her kidney to Dan. I was incredibly fascinated by the idea of documenting this from both perspectives. Since they were both friends, I said, why not? So let's start off. For Dan, kidney disease was never abstract. It shaped his life from the very beginning. So let's hear from Dan.
I was born with a congenital birth defect where my ureters never reached my bladder. So they did about 9 or 10 reconstructive surgeries. They didn't think I'd live after I was born, like the day I was born.
Dan had had his first kidney transplant when he was 9 years old. He later had more transplants. But by his early 50s, he needed another one. That meant asking for help publicly, and you've seen these signs around. Friends shared posts on social media. There was even a billboard in Cincinnati, and that's a whole nother story. But eventually, one of those Facebook posts reached my friend, Laura. She did not make a big announcement. She simply contacted the donor advocate and started the process of getting tested.
Everybody kept asking me, how do you feel? What do you hope? And I wasn't sure. You know, I wasn't sure, did I hope? Do I match? Do I hope I don't match? And then it was about January. I hadn't heard. So I emailed Bree and I said, you know, I hope I'm not bothering you. I just haven't heard. I'm thinking it might be, you know, no news is bad news in this case. She called me back within a few hours and she said, you're wrong. I had just pulled your file to call you. You did match.
But matching was only the first step. Laura still had months of testing ahead of her to make sure she could safely donate. And Dan was waiting, hoping this would all work. But the time surgery day arrived, both families had gathered. They had shared meals. They knew what was coming. And Dan describes that morning almost like a ceremony.
It felt almost like a marriage kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. It really did, mm-hmm. You know? And we had a 7:30 a.m. ceremony.
Yeah, that's right. And nobody really was invited.
Right. It's a small wedding.
I love that.
Laura went in first, maybe 5 or 10 minutes early. So we took pictures because I could see her getting wheeled by. So they stopped the bed. And
I had conducted an interview with both Laura and Dan individually before the surgery. But then I interviewed them together after the surgery. The focus then had shifted to recovery, medications, monitoring, healing, but something else had shifted too. There was this new sense of responsibility and relationship between the two of them.
And I kind of feel like it's a vow, like I promise to take care of this kidney to the best of my ability, just to keep it hydrated and be aware of my physical health.
And I hope you know when I reach out to you and ask how you're doing, it's not like, are you taking care of my kidney? It's truly, yeah. How are you?
Yeah.
That's what oral history preserves so well. It's not just what happened, but it's what it felt like to live through it. Because April is National Donate Life Month, I asked Laura what she would say to someone who might be considering donation.
I would say just because you reach out and get the information does not mean you're going into surgery, you know, the next week. So even if you're mildly considering it, reach out, get the information, start the process. Okay, it's a blood draw. And then you find out if you match. At any point along the way, you can change your mind. You are never locked in. So if you have any thoughts about doing it, start the process for sure.
And Doug, this entire story is beautifully told on your podcast, The Wisdom Project.
Thank you so much. I learned so much from doing these interviews. It's an important topic, and I'm proud of the episode. The podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or even YouTube these days.
And we will see you next time on Saving Stories.